Praise God indeed. Hope everyone's doing well. Good to see y'all this evening. Hope everyone's having a wonderful week so far. Just want to thank the Lord for his many blessings. Yes, let's all stand, if you will, and we'll go to the Lord in prayer as we get ready to open up our youth service tonight. Just excited about that. I get to count myself as young tonight. Praise God. Anyone on my right side with a spoken prayer request this evening? Yes, Miss Lori. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Yes. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Goodness. Anyone else on my right side with a spoken prayer request tonight? All righty. Anyone on the left side tonight with a spoken prayer request? All right. Well, praise the Lord. Anyone up on the roster?
Continue to remember Keith and his parents. Also, my little great-nephew burned his leg really bad. He may have to have skin grafts. Okay. And I'd just like for the church to remember him.
Absolutely.
His name's Jackson.
Jackson. All right. Understand. Absolutely. If you have an unspoken prayer request, just show by the raising of your hand. Oh, God sees and knows each and every one. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise your name. Lord, we thank you for your many, many blessings. Lord, thank you for allowing us to gather together in your house and in your name. Dear Lord, as we come together as one, dear Lord, may we be in one mind and one accord. Lord, as this service goes forward, dear Lord, may we release it to you. Lord, may we just turn off any distractions that's in our mind or in our hearts, dear Lord, right now with peace and just give it to you and let you minister to us. Lord, you've heard the spoken prayer requests. Those that have lost their lives, dear Lord, those of their families, dear Lord, strengthen them, dear Lord, that peace that only you can give those that are sick and shut in, dear Lord, as we pray for our elderly, dear Lord, right now. Lord, for all those in nursing homes and assisted living in the hospital right now, and dear Lord, we just praise your name. Dear Lord, we pray for our country and for this community and our city. Dear Lord, we just ask for your many, many blessings. Be with our pastor and his family as they travel this week. And for all those that are traveling, dear Lord, and we just thank you for your many blessings. And we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And we all say,
amen,
amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise the Lord. Praise God. While you're standing, turn to page 52. Jesus, hold my hand.
As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me. Leads me safely to the sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me do the best I can. For I need thy light to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand.
Amen.
Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. As I onward go, hand in beneath the pole, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. The setting of the sun. Lead me safely to a land of rest, if I a crown of life have won. I have put my faith in Thee, dear Lord, that I may reach the golden strand. There's no other friend on whom I can depend, blessed Jesus. Hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand. Hold yes, my hand. Hand. I yes, need I need thee every hour. Through this land, this pilgrim land.
Protect me by thy
saving power. Hear my plea, my people plea. Plea.
Oh Lord,
dear Lord. Yes, I need every hour. Through this land, this pilgrim land,
protect
thy saving power. Hear my plea, my feeble plea.
Oh Lord,
dear Lord, look down on me
when I kneel.
God. You may be seated if you can. Just love the Lord this evening. We're going to go ahead and take up the evening offering. Luke, you want to grab, got that? Got someone else? Okay. Brother Thomas, thank you. Mr. Luke, do you want to ask the Lord to bless our offering, please? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Got a treat for us tonight. Got so the up and coming generation sing for us. Y'all go ahead.
Can y'all see that? Okay.
I'm supposed to be Laz. He's supposed to sing with Macy tonight, but he's sick. So she had to pick a song on her way.
Well, just before to church.
We left for church, and she's like, "Mom, will you sing backup?" So sure. Just call me Laz.
sick.
Show me your love through the
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Any other groups that you got? No, I'll ask Miss Jennifer to do a song and then turn it over to Child of the King. Drama team, if that's good for you.
Well, now, I have been made new. But I'm not part of the youth. I don't think anybody's going to be fooled. This is indeed. Praise the Lord. Y'all worship as I sing Mercy Walked In. I stood in the courtroom. The judge turned my way. Looks like you're guilty. Now what do you say? I spoke up, Your Honor. I have no defense. And that's when mercy walked in. And pleaded my case and called to the stand God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin, forgiven. When mercy walked in, I stood there and wondered, how could this be that someone so guilty had just been set free? My chains were broken. I felt born again. The moment that mercy walked in. Mercy walked in and pleaded my case. To the stand, God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin, forgiven when mercy walked in. Blood was presented that covered my sin, forgiven when mercy walked in.
Turn it over to the young people. It's so blessed to have them so active in our church and for the ministry. We just love the Lord. This is Child of the King.
Well, good evening. How are y'all? I'd say it takes a lot of courage as a kid to get up here in front of grown-ups. It's hard to get them to do it when it's just kids down there, but to get up here in front of grown-ups and to do stuff like that, it just amazes me. I love watching them. I'm so thankful for them. If we could we just give the whole church a hand clap? Our youth, our adults. It's such a privilege to be able to be part of a church and a church family that loves like this church does. Brother Eddie and Sister Penny are on their, is it pastor appreciation / Christmas thing from the church there in the mountains. So we're glad that they're able to go do that. They didn't get off scot-free. I think they took Trey and Kylie with them. So, well, they planned their trip when they'd be off to go with them. So I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here tonight. I'm thankful for this church being able to be a part of each and every one of you here. Those that are here, those that are not here. Everybody's such an important part of the church. And I'm so thankful when you get thinking about the people you get to know and you get to hang around and be with. I'm so thankful for people like this because it is just a big family. I know I can call on anybody in here at any time. And I'm so thankful for that. I was going to sing a song, but since the music went down, I won't. Just kidding. Don't come back up here, please. That's why I told Sister Lori, I said, tonight's youth night. We're going to let you start off singing for us. And she said, no, you're not either. So I'm so thankful to be part of a church that truly loves God and loves the people as well. If you could, we'll start off in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. It says, "In the same day, when the evening was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish?" I'm going to stop right there for a minute. If you would, Brother Jim, would you mind saying a prayer, please?
Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you. Dear Lord, as we come to you tonight, Lord, we ask now, Lord, that you'll open up our hearts, our minds, and our ears, dear Lord, to be receptive to your word and your message. Lord, we ask you to bless the man of God that brings forth your message. Lord, strengthen and guide us, dear Lord, and let your word flow. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's word. Sunday night, I was sitting here, and Sister Jennifer started singing a song. And it feels like Sister Jennifer's just got a book of amazing songs she sings. Well, she started singing this song, and it really hit me. Does he not care that we perish? And I've wondered to myself, I've said and I've thought and I've thought, and tonight's title would be, When Did I Lose Focus? When did I lose focus? You see, when they got in the boat, they didn't expect a storm. In life, we don't expect a storm a lot of times, but they happen. You see, the devil's got a job. It's to distract us, to tear us down, to tear us away from God. He does good at his job. He works hard and he don't quit. I'm thankful that we have the victory over that. But there's a lot of times that we face this that I don't really have the victory over it sometimes. I don't really just bounce back like I think I should. I don't really just get to get over it and go on about my business. You know, if you look at the way the devil attacks people, he will do his best to pull our focus away from God. You see, we got a focus in us to be on the Lord, just like in this ship. They had Jesus in the ship with them. They didn't have nothing to worry about. They had him down in the bottom with them. We could face anything. Well, you see, that's how we are. Jesus is in our hearts, and we feel like I can face anything until the first problem arises. When the first problem arises, then it starts beating on me a little bit. But it ain't really storming too bad. It's just raining a little bit. And I can handle a little rain. So what do? I tell Jesus, don't worry about it. I can take care of this, Lord. I'll call you when I really need you. We see the devil does his job. And there's a lot of ways he attacks people. And the one that was on me really this week when I was praying and seeking God was mentally. I got mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, but mentally affects every one of those. You'd be surprised at how many kids have anxiety. There is, I got it looked up on my phone, so to pull up. Anxiety is a mental health disorder characterized by feelings of worry, anxiety, or fear that are strong enough to interfere with one's daily activities. Panic attacks, obsessive compulsive disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder. So feelings of worry, anxiety, or fear that are strong enough to interfere with one's daily activities. Well, you see, I looked it up earlier and it said 40 million adults from 18 and older in the U.S. have been diagnosed with anxiety. It's 18.1% of population in the U.S. Well, anxiety when I was younger, I thought was just in people's head and it wasn't no problem and you just got to get over stuff. That's the way as a kid, because I had a good childhood. I was blessed. My parents were good to us. They brought us to church. Come to church with aunts and all. So I never seen, as I get older, I started seeing people facing stuff. And I started seeing the teenagers and stuff deal with it. Not that ours in here have dealt, but we have talked to kids that have dealt with anxiety. So, well, what is it that's bothering you? Like, I don't know. Sometimes I just break out in a panic attack. But, well, why? I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you. It just happens. My kids have got friends at school. That's just about ruin the social life, talking with anybody. They can't be around people. Why? Because this anxiety comes in and it destroys them. Well, there's a lot of people that may have lost their focus when anxiety come in. I wrote down, what was the storm that made you lose your focus? What was the problem, the situation, the trial that made you lose focus? Anxiety's real big right now. What about cancer? Anybody ever hear the word cancer and you just melt? You just hear the words and it just makes you sick to your stomach. You never want to hear it. What about the loss of a job? Felt alone, felt abandoned. Anxiety and depression are those things that the devil will use, and he will beat you down and he will destroy you. Because you see, if he can get in your mind, then he's got you where he wants you. Because you see, if he can get in your mind, he can tell you that nobody loves you. Nobody's here for you. Nobody cares for you. When I got up here, I thank for being able to be part of a church that loves each other. A church is here for each other. We ain't none of us perfect. Don't none of us claim to be perfect. But I know that I can call on you. And I know that you'll pray with me and that you'll pray for me and that we can overcome these obstacles. But the devil's going to tell you that nobody loves you. Nobody is there for you. He don't care. As long as he can get in your mind, then he can destroy you and pull you away from where you need to be. He can make you lose that focus. He can make you not be where you're supposed to be, because if I let him start getting in my mind and he'll start telling me, well, Sister Karen didn't shake my hand when I come to church. She didn't tell me she loved me. She didn't tell me she hugged me. Brother Jim, he didn't talk to me last week. And you think it's funny, but there's little things like that that will pull people away, because the devil will get you start looking at people in church to find flaws and to find faults with them. And if you can find the flaws, which, if you look at me, you'll find a bunch of flaws and a bunch of faults. But you can find those and just be like, I don't want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of your family, and I want to be a part of none of this, if that's how Christians are going to be. Well, I think church is very important. I think church is very important because this is where I get fueled up. This is where I get fueled up to face the devil when I have these obstacles. Sunday mornings, we have children's church. We have a great time. teaching the kids, hanging out. I learned more from them than they learned from me. Wednesday nights, we get the opportunity to be with the teenagers, to sit and listen to them. I swear they're older than we are sometimes. They're older than I am. I ain't going to speak for Kevin, but older than I am. They'll be asking me questions that will just blow your mind. But to be able to be part of that, that fills me up. That fuels me. And then on Sunday nights to get up here and to hear the Word of God preached this Sunday night, Brother Jim did. And he talked about God's love. And there's no greater topic than God's love. But see, that fills me up. That builds me up. And if the devil can get in my mind and can pull me away from here and pull me out of church and pull me a little bit further away, then that's what he's going to do. He can get me to where I quit reading my Bible, because if I get away from the church, I'm going to quit reading my Bible as much as I do. Why? Because if I get away from teaching the kids or teaching the teens, or I have feel accountable. I feel like I've got to be reading, and I got to, not that I'm a whiz on the Bible, because the more I read, the more I realize how much I don't know. But I also see that the devil's going to do what he can to pull me away. The devil would love to have our children. The devil would love to take our kids away from here and get them out of the church and to get them away. The devil would love to see us turn away from God. Now see, this is not about loom and gloom and depression tonight, but it's about what the devil's trying to do to us, and we got to open our eyes and see. If the devil can divide us through a president, or the devil can divide us through racism, or the devil can divide us through religion or belief or whatever it may be, then that's what's going to happen. And we've got to stand bold and stand strong in God's Word and know that there is a promise we have, that this stuff doesn't matter. We cannot let that destroy who we are. I have seen people that was in church and on fire for God, and they have let the devil just destroy them and pull them out. And it wasn't like he just jerked them out. He took them out little by little by little. And that's what he would love to do to each and every one of you in here. I've heard people say, there's no way I would ever turn away from God. He's been too good to me. And within years, those people aren't even in church no more. Why? Because the devil has creeped in. And he's doing all he can. He knows his time is short. He knows he don't have long. So he's doing all he can to pull you away, to tear you down. But let me tell you something. If you look through physical eyes, David, no way could he have beat Goliath. All he had was a couple rocks and a sling. Goliath was built for battle. He had a spear. He was a giant. He had a shield. He was built for battle. David didn't stand a chance. But you see, that's when God works his best. When he says, I don't have a chance. You see, when we build ourselves up, or when we tell God, I got this, you just stay right here. Usually what happens is it's the minor things that I wind up. Where are you at, God? Why ain't you here helping me? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? And he's like, you told me to sit right here and wait on you. You had this. And I learned real quick that I don't have anything, that I can't do anything without him. Like the song Brother Eddie sings, I can't even walk without him holding my hand. I need God every day. I need him to build me. I need him to fill me. I need him to strengthen me and encourage me, because without him, I cannot make it. It don't matter how good my parents are. It don't matter how good my wife and kids are. It don't matter how good my father-in-law and mother-in-law is. I cannot make it without God. You see, a lot of us feel like, I got a close relationship with Brother Eddie. He's the pastor. He's close with God. So I should have that channel coming down with me, and I'm okay. I know the guy that knows the guy that knows the guy, so I feel okay. But the thing about it is, it don't work that way. We ain't getting a discount on tires or nothing. This is salvation here. This is salvation. But it's funny, but a lot of people do. Well, I'm a good person, and I know Brother Eddie. He's a pastor, so, you know, he thinks I'm a good person and hangs out with me, so I'll probably be okay. But that's not the case of it. That's not how it is when it comes to heaven or hell and comes to your soul. You see, David should have never beat Goliath. David should have been defeated. David had no armor. He couldn't wear the armor. Goliath was sitting out there making fun of the Israelites. He was making fun. And then when David come out, He was laughing at David and said, "Who am I that you send out these little kids? What's this kid going to do?" But David had a purpose in his heart. Amen. You see, David didn't lose his focus. If David would have turned to the right or to the left or would have talked, let Goliath talk him into it. How many times has somebody talked you into something? "You don't look like you feel too good today." Yeah, I wasn't feeling real good when I got up. "You can be perfectly fine. Yeah, your eyes, you just don't look that good. Before you know it, by lunch, you're sick and going home. You got a doctor's appointment." People talked you into stuff. So if David would have listened to Goliath, then he would have said, "I'm no match for this man. He's built for war. I'm a shepherd. What do I know?" But you see, David didn't. David didn't lose his focus. He set his sights on what he knew God had given him. And he didn't care that all he had was a couple rocks in a sling. He didn't know he defeated a bear and a lion. So Goliath was no different. And if you'll read about David, it says he made haste and ran to Goliath. He didn't just try to sneak up behind him. He didn't try to sneak through the bushes. It said he made haste and ran to him because he said, "I will not be defeated. You may come at me with your swords and your spears, but I come at you in the name of the Lord, and I will not be defeated." And you see, his rock was led by God's hand. David could have closed his eyes and slung his rock backwards, and I believe God had a purpose for it. He guided it right where it needed to go. Why? Because David never lost his focus. David did not lose his focus in the battlefield. You see, when we're in the battles, that's when we start losing our focus. When we're in the battles, it's easy to say when everything's going right with us. It's easy to say, "Yeah, I'll hold on to God. He's the best. But you let me start going through something. Tell you what, you let my kid start going through something. You let my kid start facing stuff that I've not faced before. I don't know how to act. I don't know what to do. My kids have had friends with anxiety and stuff. No, I didn't have a clue about it. Nothing. Not a clue. But you start seeing it affect these people's lives. It ruins their lives. It destroys them. It tears them down. But we have to keep our focus on God. You see, I can handle what you say bad about me and all. And I can handle whatever devil throws at me, I say. But when you start messing with my kid, then that changes. "Oh, Lord, where are you? I need you. I need you. Where are you at? Why ain't you by my side? Why ain't you right here? Now, you the one told me to stay away. You got this. You got this." If David would have said, "Hey, Lord, you just sit tight. I'll be back in a minute," he wouldn't have stood a chance against Goliath. But you see, David kept his focus. David never lost his sight on Goliath. He knew what his job was. If you read in the book of Acts, I wrote it down somewhere. In the book of Acts 16 and 25, Paul and Silas was beat. Paul and Silas just preached God's word. They weren't bad people. They were good people. They praised God. They worshiped God. They glorified God. They told people about God. And they were beat. And then they were thrown into the prison. And they were told, "You better keep them safe." So he threw them into the inner part of the prison. But you see, something happened. Because the first time, when I tell God, "God, I want you to take care of everything. My wife, my children, my life, my job. I want you to take care of everything." The first obstacle I meet, I'm like, "All right, God, why ain't you doing this? Why ain't you doing this? Why ain't you taking care of this? Why ain't you working this out? You should be doing this." What if Paul and Silas would have quit? What if Paul and Silas would have stopped? What if Paul and Silas would have said, "All right, God, I'm sick of praising you. I'm sick of glorifying you. I'm sick of lifting you up because all I do is keep getting beat. I keep getting put down. I keep getting pushed down. I keep getting tore down. I can't get ahead, God, because I keep preaching you. And if I stop preaching you, then I'll be able to live a peaceful life." They wouldn't have been beat if they wouldn't have been preaching for God. But Paul and Silas didn't give up because a little storm came their way. Paul and Silas didn't lose their focus. Paul and Silas, at midnight, began to sing praise. They began to glorify and lift up the God that they had been beaten for. Because they said, my actions are going to meet what I'm saying. My actions are going to hold true to what I'm telling people. Because if I tell people He'll take care of you, and I tell people that God's going to be there for you, and He's going to lift you up, and He's going to deliver you, but then I get down on my knees, and I'm crying, and I feel like there's no way out, my actions are not meeting what I'm telling. So how's people going to see that God will deliver if they don't see through me? I got to go through obstacles, because it's going to show you, hey, God does work miracles. I've got to go through problems. I've got to go through trials. Why? Because if nothing else, it's a testimony for what God can do. Amen. Nobody wants to go through trials. Nobody wants to have cancer. Nobody wants to get beat down and be hurt and be struggling. Had a guy at work. He had some stuff on his lungs. They was doing a biopsy. Some guys at work were able to go over and pray with him and all. And I said, no matter how this goes, if they have to do the biopsy or if they don't, know that it's just a greater testimony. Amen. It's a greater testimony the deeper the walk you get. Look at Joseph. He was sold. All he was a dreamer. He just had dreams and wanted to live for the Lord, and his brothers couldn't stand it. The ones that were closest to him couldn't stand it and sold him. And every time he made his way up, he got torn down. And he made his way up, and he got torn down. And he made his way up, and he got torn down. But he never lost his focus. He never took his eyes off of God. Why? Because it would have been for nothing. It would have been for nothing. If he had just given in to the woman and done what he wanted, then he'd have never had his testimony. He had to face them trials because he could say, hey, I know God can deliver. You know how I know God can deliver? Because I've been through those trials. I've been through the fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they know God can deliver. They said, oh, King, even if he doesn't, know that he can. Know that I serve a God that if He don't keep me from the fire, He'll keep me through the fire. Know that it may get hot at times. Know there's going to be times where you're going to struggle and it's going to be fire burning all around you, but don't stop. Don't give up, because what He brought you to, He will bring you through. I don't know who this is for tonight. Maybe it's just me, but God says don't lose your focus. Don't give in to the devil. Don't lose where I'm telling you to look, because there's things going on everywhere. The world's going to tell you, don't worry about it. You've got to accept all this. You don't have to accept it. If it's not in God's Word, you don't have to accept it. We're not fighting a battle like we don't know who the winner is. We already know who the winner is in the Bible. We fight the battle like we don't know, but we already know. We don't have to accept what the world tells us. I try to teach my kids and all the kids in kids' church and teens, think for yourself. That's right. Don't just think because other people, don't just do because other people tell you.
That's right. Yes.
If you want to know why they think that, figure it out. Look it up. Think for yourself. Don't just follow people. Because there's a lot of good people that you will follow straight to hell if you follow them. Because they think, it's okay, I'm good. I don't do bad stuff. We all do bad stuff. We're all sinners. We're all sinners. It's only by God's grace are we saved. I'm not up here tonight because I'm better than anybody. I'm worse than anybody, if anything. Paul said he was the chief of the sinners, and that's how I feel. But to know that God told me, don't lose your focus. Hold on to what I've given you. Hold on to what I've told you. Hold on to the promises we had. Because you see, they lost their focus in the boat. When they were in the boat, they lost their focus. And all they could see was the storm. All they could see was the waves and the thunder and the lightning. And if you look in the Amplified Version, it says it was like a hurricane come upon them. And all they could see was, my boat is filling with water. My boat's not supposed to have water in it, and here it is, it's just filling, and I'm sinking. How many times have we prayed at night, God, my boat is filling, and I'm sinking. Do you not care that I perish? Do you not care that I'm going through these problems? Do you not care that I'm facing these situations, God? Do you not care?
Come on, brother.
I don't know if you've ever been to that place in your life where you've said, God, why am I facing so much? I can't take it no more. You've got to quit. I can't take it. I'm at my breaking point. He said, hold on. Hold on and keep your focus. The world's going to knock you down and it's going to try to pull you away. But if you'll hold on and keep that focus, your boat ain't going to sink. It may take on a little bit of water, but it will not sink. It'll keep floating. Why? Because He is the reason it's floating. He has a purpose for your life, each and every one of you in here. You may think you control your life. You may think you do what you want, but you don't. God has a purpose for you. Keep your focus on Him. Keep your focus where it needs to be, and He's going to take you where He wants you. You see, we can either stay focused on Him and go where He wants, or we can look the other way and go through a bunch of rabbit trails and still go where He wants us to go. So we got to keep our focus on Him. Say, God, do You not care that we perish? Lord, You're down here sleeping, and I'm going through the worst trial I've been through in my life. I'm worried about my own life. I'm worried, Lord. Please help me. You're laying here sleeping. It's like You don't even care. And in verse 39, it says, and He arose. And He arose. And He arose. He ain't asleep no more. He's not asleep anymore. What's Sister Jennifer's song say? You've prayed all night. Your cries have awoken the Master. Yes, if you've said and you've cried and you've prayed at night and you thought nobody heard you and nobody cared and nobody loved you, know that there is a God that has heard your cries. Know that there is a God that He sees your tears. Know that He knows your heart. And know that your cries and your tears don't go unseen. They don't go unfelt. Because guess what? Now He's arose. He's up and He's ready. And it says, and He arose. He arose and He rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Do you understand? It did not take years for that calm to happen. It did not take months for the calm to happen. But immediately the sea stopped. Immediately the winds quit. Immediately God moved. Sometimes He don't choose to move immediately for us. But keep your focus and don't give up. Don't give up on Him. Hold strong to Him and don't let go. If you're tired, take another grip. If you feel like you can't go on, call somebody in the church to pray for you.
Yes.
It says, bear ye one another's burdens, and that's what we're here for.
Amen.
Take somebody up on that. Call. Ask them to pray for you. So I'm at my wit's end and I don't know what to do. All you got to do is call and say, I need prayer. You ain't got to have no details. I love that we have a text that goes out with prayer requests. I love that. Because immediately, I know there's people praying.
Amen.
Immediately, God's hearing some more prayers.
Amen. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus.
They got scared. They got worried in the boat. They was just going to take a little ride and it shouldn't have been no problem. But instead, it turned into probably one of their worst nights. They were scared. They were worried. They thought they were sinking. And they thought He didn't care for them. But when they called on Him, He arose. And He rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. If you're going through something tonight in your life, if you've been facing trials for years, for months, for days, for hours, it doesn't matter. God hears your cry. And God is ready to tell you, peace, be still. I'm going to take care of you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And I've not found Him out to lie to us yet. Whatever it is, the storm that's took your focus away from God, whatever it is that's made you not where you can focus on Him, let's lay it down. Let's give it to Him and don't pick it back up. It's hard sometimes. It's hard to say, all right, Lord, I give You this. I've done it. I've been at this altar on my knees crying and said, Lord, I give it to You. And then when I got up, I got my backpack on and took it with me and we went right back out the door. You know what? It didn't do me a lick of good. You know why? because I didn't give it to God. I told him I wanted to take it, but then I picked it up and took it back with me. You got to give it to him, and you got to release it. Does no good to give it to him and then just hold on to it the whole time. All right, Lord, take it. Come on, take it. Take it, Lord, as you're pulling back. We got to release it, and we got to give it to him. Amen. When you feel like nobody cares for you, when you feel like you're all alone, know that God loves you, but know that this church loves you. If you're facing trials and troubles and struggles, know that this church will pray for you. Know that our pastor will be praying for you. Know that anybody in this church will pray for you in a minute. You see, a lot of times we let the devil get in our mind. We let him beat us down. We let him tear us down. In 2 Timothy 1 and 7, it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Of power and of love and of a sound mind. God don't want you to beat yourself up. God don't want you to beat yourself down. God don't want you to be struggling, to be hurting, to feel like you're unloved and unappreciated. God wants you to know that you matter. You take a look at Paul in his life. Paul was sent out, Saul, was sent out to kill Christians, to imprison them. And God called him with a light. They led him to the place, and he sat there blind for 3 days. He told Ananias to go pray for him. Ananias was scared at first. Like, Lord, he's sitting here to kill Christians, and you remember I'm Christian, and you want me to go pray for him. But God said, "He is a chosen vessel unto me." Every one of you in here tonight, everyone that can hear, you are a chosen vessel unto God. He has a purpose for your life. I don't care how young you are or how old you are. He has a purpose for your life. It's never too late to fulfill your purpose for God. It's never too late to turn your life over to Him. Last scripture I have is in Romans chapter 12. It's a very familiar scripture. It's in 12 verse 2. This world will tell us that we got to be like them. There's a thing on YouTube. I don't watch much of it, but there's these inspirational things from, I don't know if it's preachers that put them on there or what it is, but it's like a 5-minute clip, and it'll say like motivational, spiritual or something. And one of them said, it said something about not belonging to the world or something, so I clicked on it. And it says, you don't belong in the world because you don't belong in the world. It says, you don't live in the world. It said it rejected Christ, and it's going to reject you. But this world tells us we have to conform to what they want. You don't believe it? Turn on television today. The basic TV, which my kids don't know nothing about, but the basic TV, 2, 5, 11, 36, 46, when we was kids, cartoons and all, turn it on now. It's cussing, gays, I mean, it's everything. And it's shoved in your face. It's not just people going about their lives anymore and keep stuff secret. Everything is shoved in your face. And you're told as a Christian, you got to accept it. You got to accept it, and you got to be part of it. Well, you see, the Bible tells us differently. Because we'll let the devil get in our mind and get our focus off of God. And he'll get us mentally, and mentally will affect us physically, spiritually, and emotionally. Mentally will destroy every bit of that. Look at somebody who's stressed. They lost a lot of weight. Their face is sunk in, they can't sleep, they can't eat, they can't do nothing. Why? Because mentally, they just feel like they can't get a hold of nothing. But I'm going to leave you with encouragement tonight. 12 and 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Be not conformed to this world. This world will do all it can to pull your focus off of God and make you conform to what they want you to be. They will try to conform you to what they want. But it says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do I be transformed by the renewing of my mind? This renews me every day. Amen. Every day. This is probably one of the worst inventions in the world, but I'm so thankful that I have a Bible app on here, because there's a lot of times I don't carry my Bible to work, but I got a Bible app on my phone. I can sit and read. It's raining, or you got time at lunch or whatever, you can sit and read. Why? Because this is what renews me. This is what encourages me and keeps me going. I love being part of a church that believes in God. I love being part of a church that believes in His love, that believes in following Him and seeking Him and putting Him first. None of us are perfect. We all mess up at times, and we're not ever going to be perfect. One day, when we get to heaven, we will. But until then, all we can do is live the best we can and be the best we can for God. I want to be better today than I was yesterday and better tomorrow than I am today for God. That's how I want to live. Tonight, I just felt in my spirit that God wanted to tell somebody, keep your focus. Because it's easy to listen to everybody else and think that he don't care if we perish. And when Sister Jennifer sang that Sunday night, it hit me like a ton of bricks. And then it just stuck with me. So many times the devil will get us where we feel like God don't care for us. Miss Jennifer, would you mind playing that song, please? I greatly appreciate it. I thank God for all of our youth, for everybody's here, but I thank God for our kids that get up here and sing, that get up here and praise God, that don't mind glorifying and lifting Him up. Amen. I wish we could get every kid in every school system and just bring them all in here. But I praise, if you don't mind, would you stand? You bow your head and close your eyes as she plays and sings this song. If you want prayer, this church will be here to pray for you.
Jesus, the disciples were getting concerned. The wind started violently blowing. He was asleep in the stern. Does He not care that we perish? We're helpless and we're so afraid. Jesus arose when they called Him, said to them, where is your faith? Because you've prayed all night, 'cause you've held on with all of your might, child, your cries have awoken the Master. It hit you without any warning. The storm of your life had begun. Seeing no hope in the distance, you're frightened and nowhere to run. By now your vessel is spilling, and you're thinking that you'll surely drown. You cried out for help from the Savior, and you know that you can't give up now. Because you've prayed all night, 'cause you've held on with all of your might, child, your cries Master. Now you're up there worried that he's fast asleep. The winds are so deadly, the water's so deep. But try to be patient, 'cause soon he'll bring peace. Just one word from his voice and it all must cease. Because you prayed all night, 'cause you've held on with all of your might, child, your cries have awoken the Master. The storm of your life had begun, and seeing no hope in the distance, you're frightened and nowhere to run. By now your vessel is filling, and you're thinking that you'll surely drown. You cried out for help from the Savior, and you know that you can't give up now. Because you prayed all night, 'cause you've held on with all of your might, child, your cries have awoken the Master. Now you're up there worried that he's fast asleep. The winds are so deadly, the water's so deep. But try to be patient, 'cause soon he'll bring peace. Just one word from his voice and it all must cease. Because you pray. Oh, he knows your voice. Lift your hands, it's time to rejoice. Child, your cries have awoken the Master. Child, your cries have awoken the Master. Give me your hand, let's agree together that all our enemies will crumble at our feet. Whatever we find on earth will be bound in heaven. many years now. Satan's tried to stop us, but the Church of Jesus is still alive. Like a mighty army, we keep marching onward.
Great to see what God can do, what God will do when we just step out. Yes, ma'am.
Some of y'all know me, some of you don't, but I'm sure you know the ones that know me remember me. Well, I was diagnosed with breast cancer, and when I went in, the doctor told me, "Yeah, you've got breast cancer." And they took in some lymph nodes. They said, "You've got cancer in your lymph nodes." Well, then they did a CAT scan, and they told me that I had cancer in my back in two places. So I prayed, and I kept holding on to the scripture, "By His stripes I am healed." And I would just repeat that, and everything about healing I picked up on. Well, I had to go in for another scan, and I sent Sister Lori a text and asked her to please have my brothers and sisters in Christ to pray for me. And y'all did. Well, the scan came back. The cancer in my lymph nodes is resolved.
Praise the Lord.
The cancer in my back is resolved.
Praise the Lord.
The tumor in my breast is shrinking.
Thank you, Jesus.
So God is good.
Yes. Amen.
He answers prayer.
Amen.
We've got to hold on to Him.
Amen.
But I just wanted to share that Amen. With you. Exactly what he was preaching about tonight, about people when they have cancer, how it plays on their mind. And that's so true.
Yes.
Because there were so many times I would hear a song and it's crazy, and I'd say, "Well, you know, I'd like them to play that at my memorial service."
Yeah.
Or I'd like, and you hear another song, "Oh, I think I want that one." Well, then after a while, I was like, "God, man, you got to choose something." And I said, "You know what? I ain't got to choose nothing, because I'm going to live and not die."
Yeah.
Right. Anyway.
Praise the Lord. We serve a mighty God. Amen. Mighty God. Thank you for being here tonight. We are glad that our pastor was able to get away, him and Sister Penny. They'll be back Friday, so he'll be here Sunday morning. Y'all got to see my mug Sunday morning, so Brother Eddie will be here. But thank y'all for coming tonight. Thank y'all for being a church that is so loving and so caring, and being people that we just count as our family and love you so much. If anybody has anything else, if not, if you'll bow your head, we'll be dismissed with this prayer. Dear Lord, we praise you, God, and we thank you for the opportunity to be able to come and to worship your mighty name. God, we thank you that you are still in the healing business. God, we thank you that you are still in the delivering business. God, we thank you that you're still in the encouraging business. God, we thank you for touching and anointing each and every soul that's here. God, we pray that you bless those that are traveling, protect them and keep them safe. Bless those who are sick and afflicted. Those are in nursing homes and hospitals, those who need a healing, who need a deliverance. Lord, continue to encourage and strengthen and touch each and every one, God. And Lord, we pray that we keep our focus on you, Lord. Now, we don't lose our focus, but that we keep our focus on you and that we lift you up. Lord, we pray that we're examples for you wherever we may go and that we speak boldly for you, Lord. Watch over us, protect us, go with us and keep us safe and help us to lift you up and glorify you in all that we do, my Lord. I praise you, I love and I thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.